And
Well, good morning, everybody, on this 16th Sunday after Trinity. And first of all, how wonderful that our new ABC, Archbishop of Canterbury, is Sarah McAnally. Tremendous news. When she was Bishop of Crediton, we got to know her, and then she became Bishop of London, and now she's got the top job, if you like. We need to remember her very much in our prayers, because it's not going to be an easy job to do. So she's someone we must pray for. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and
and
also
also with
with
you.
you. O Lord, open our lips, and
And
our
our mouth
mouth shall
shall proclaim
proclaim
your
your
praise.
praise. Dear Lord, some of us come today in need of nourishment and refreshment, some of us in need of company and friendship. Some come with joy and hope to share. Help us all to join as one family, supporting each other and praising and worshipping you.
Amen.
Amen. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of the new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And our prayer of confession. Heavenly Father, we confess that we are so familiar with the stories in the Bible that we take them for granted, failing to see them for the treasured tales that they are. Lord, forgive us for failing to care for and conserve the treasures of our faith as a living tradition, not as a rusty collection of old rituals. We commit ourselves to continuing your story, the story of faith, with renewed life and vigour, passing on the things we have learned as true witnesses to your word, faithful to our calling. Amen. Into your arms we stumble again, O Lord. Your arms open in forgiveness of our foolishness and failings. Thank you for calling us to be in your story and for forgiving us when we forget to play our part. Amen.
Our first reading this morning is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestor did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. And this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And that is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our psalm today is part of Psalm 37. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
We come now to our second reading from Luke 17, starting at verse 5. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say this to the to you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant ploughing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down to eat'? Won't he rather say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink.' Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Today I'm abandoning Luke's gospel for the epistle of Paul to Timothy. You may find it helpful, if you're able, to have that reading in front of you now as I speak. In summary, Paul's second letter to Timothy is his final and most personal letter. He wrote it to his co-worker at a time when he, Paul, was again in prison and was expecting death by execution. It's not clear how much time had elapsed since his first letter to Timothy, but it's easy to see that Paul's situation had deteriorated. Paul had been released from his first Roman imprisonment and wrote his first letter to Timothy and his letter to Titus. However, 5 or 6 years later, Paul finds himself once again in a Roman prison, which is when he writes his second letter to Timothy. Historically, we're unsure whether he was either under house arrest in Rome or he was under arrest in Troas. Either way, things are not going well for him. and he implies that he's not going to survive this one. Out of this bleak situation, Paul appeals to Timothy to keep the faith as he's building the church in Ephesus. This was approximately 66 to 67 AD, and the Roman Emperor Nero was famous for his persecution of Christians. Paul had no hope or expectation of release, and this letter urges Timothy to come to Rome for one last visit. And we don't know whether Timothy made it to Rome before Paul's execution. Paul implores him to take courage from his own sufferings for the gospel in his struggle to maintain the truth in the face of heresy and moral corruption. Despite his undoubted faith, Timothy needs to bestir himself to face his difficulties as a Christian leader. Our passage today can be divided into three sections: the salutation, the thanksgiving, and the encouragement. Paul seems to have been abandoned by most of his inner circle of colleagues and friends. Perhaps they were embarrassed by his imprisonment, or felt he hadn't kept the faith, which of course was very far from the truth. So in writing to Timothy, we see very personal exhortations. This first section is full of confidence. Paul confirms his apostleship, rooted in Jesus Christ, and the promise of life, in spite of Paul's realization that he doesn't have long in this world. It's an affirmation of eternal life, full of joy and peace. This promise of life was Paul's way of encouraging Timothy to overcome any future pain or suffering he might uncover. How wonderful to be constantly remembered in prayer, as we see in verse 3. We all know that our miracle lady, Steph, was and is constantly remembered in prayer. What a tremendous lesson is there to be learned about the power of prayer. God does not always answer our prayers as we hope or expect, but we can know for sure that prayer is powerful and should not be underestimated as just something that Christians do. Steph is a present reminder of the power of prayer. So too, as seen in this next section of our reading, is the power of example. Paul reminds Timothy that he was nurtured in faith by his family. Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and mother, Eunice, first lived lives dedicated to God, and this upbringing helped lead Timothy to a faith of his own. We never know how our lives are examples which can lead or distract those around us to a deeper faith in the loving God. Timothy's faith was clearly apparent to Paul. I'm persuaded that this sincere faith now lives also in you, he declares. Paul knew this aspect was critical, and as he faced his own impending death, Paul gives special mention to Timothy's grandmother and mother and their Christian faithfulness. His grandmother's and mother's faith were the family narrative that defined Timothy's faith. Their faith, lived day in and day out and witnessed by Timothy, was the family narrative God used as Timothy came to the same faith. Paul was convinced of this fact. As we move ever closer to the end of times, we must be strongly rooted in our family narrative as followers of Jesus Christ. I ask myself, and I guess you can do the same, does my faith show in my life? Is it always apparent that I love and follow the Lord Jesus? I'm afraid that far too often I fail and I let him down. And I know those nearest and dearest to me can vouch for that. And so finally, to Paul's encouragement. I can remember some years ago, when our grandchildren were quite young, that we put together a couple of small fires in sort of stone rings under the cedar tree at Howden Court. The children gathered dry leaves and small sticks and carefully built their fire on which they were going to toast marshmallows. As the leaves caught, they gently fanned the embers until the sticks caught and they could build their fires to toast their sticky sweets. This vivid picture is as Paul described, but in a spiritual sense. We are to fan into flame the gift of God. The Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Overwhelmingly and awesomely, the same Spirit of God that rested upon Jesus in his ministry rests on us. We are assured that the charge of carrying the gospel within us and sharing it through our lives of faith will be aided by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need constantly to fan into flame that gift of God. It is very clear that Paul was suffering. He was persecuted, tortured, and in prison. He acknowledges pain is real pain, shame is shame, and suffering is so very real, which could be devastating for those going through these things. Paul found himself in distress and agony on many occasions. Yet no pain or persecution will have its final victory over the faithful who endure it. He has a way of looking outside the current events to an existence outside the human timescale. He is looking at eternity. If only we have eyes to see it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when we feel helpless or even useless, we look to the gifts of the Spirit that have been imparted to us, and we are re-centered. We're not without resources when we're scared and things are out of control. We have a source of strength, grace, mercy, and love to reform us as the Christ one we have been created to be. When we lose sight of where we're going, or we have an internal compass and an ever-abiding companion reminding us of our ministry and mission. Following Jesus involves risk, sacrifice, and sometimes inviting tension and discomfort into our lives. Dark, painful, or difficult moments are not a sign of Jesus' absence, but opportunities for Jesus' love and faithfulness to be most tangible. Paul says in verse 12 that he's not ashamed despite his sufferings, so why should Timothy be? What has been entrusted to him, if you like his deposit, is the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and our redemption through him. Paul was sharing how he himself had lived his life of faith in Jesus Christ. He was passing on the family narrative to Timothy with the responsibility to pass it on to the next generation. We are the recipients today of this narrative, and it is now held in our care, and it is our responsibility to pass it on to the next generation of believers. In verses 13 and 14, Paul said, "What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." Amen.
Thank you. And now we say our prayers. We treasure God's gift of faith to us. Everlasting God, we treasure your gift of faith to us. Give us faith that you are at work in the world around us. Faithful God, we, your people, lift before you the world. Across the globe, there are so many places in conflict, torn apart by discord and violence. We pray for an end to these wars and for peaceful resolutions to be found. Would the plans to end the war in Gaza bring peace? And would the needs of the vulnerable be safeguarded? Give your guidance to the world leaders who negotiate and oversee these changes. Lord, bring your gift of peace. Everlasting God, we treasure your gift of faith to us.
Give us faith to know that you are at work in the world around us.
Faithful God, we pray for those around the world who are marginalised, those we are close to, those in our local communities, and the people groups around the world who are downtrodden and persecuted. We lift up the people of Afghanistan, where Taliban rule restricts their freedoms. For the women and young people who are barred from education. For those with restricted internet access that cuts off their communication, restricting their news of the outside world and their ability to run businesses. For those imprisoned for speaking out against the government. Lord, bring your gift of freedom. Everlasting God, we treasure your gift of faith to us.
Give us faith to know that you are at work in the world around us.
Faithful God, we lift before you the leadership of our country. We pray for all who are anxious about the decisions of the government, those who fear changes that may impact their future, their incomes and businesses, their education and financial stability. We pray for those in leadership, local councillors, civil servants, MPs, the Prime Minister and Cabinet Ministers. Help them to make wise decisions, considering the impact on those who are already struggling. Lord, bring your gift of wisdom. Everlasting God, we treasure your gifts of faith to us.
Give us faith to know that you are at work in the world around us.
Faithful God, we pray for those who are facing suffering, those living with chronic pain, terminal illness, and those facing degenerative disease. We pray especially this morning for the sick. Sorry. Steph, Jacques, Rosemary, Mary, Derek, Anne, Brenda, Roy, Paul, Colin, Ian, Cynthia, John, Tom, Margaret, Harvey, Harry, Susie, Elizabeth, Chris, Joy, and Sheila. And we pray for Rackenford School, Tiverton High School, and Tiverton Hospital. And we think especially of the family and friends of those who have recently died. Brian Perris, Elaine Greensmith, Derek McManus, and Myrtle Webber. For their loved ones who care for them and hate to watch them suffer, it can be hard to have hope in the midst of such difficulty. Bring your healing touch and your outpouring of love, so that those who suffer would know you as Christ, who also suffered. Thank you for the scientific breakthroughs that are bringing healing and hope to those in need. Help those in research to find new ways to alleviate suffering. Lord, bring your gift of healing. Everlasting God, we treasure your gift of faith to us.
Give
us
us
faith
faith to know
that
that you
are
are
at
at work
work in
in the
the
world
world
around
around
us.
us. Amen.
The Collect for the 16th Sunday after Trinity. Lord of creation, whose glory is around and within us, open our eyes to your wonders, that we may serve you with reverence and know your peace at our life's end, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray together. Our Father
Father
in
heaven,
hallowed
hallowed
be
be
your
your
name.
name.
Your
Kingdom
kingdom come,
your
will
will be
be done
done
on
on earth
earth as
as
in
in heaven.
heaven. Give us today our
today our daily
bread.
Forgive
Forgive
us
us
our
our
sins
sins
as
as we
we
forgive
forgive
those
those
who
who
sin
sin
against
against
us.
us. Lead
Lead us
us
not
not
into
into
temptation,
temptation,
but
but
deliver
deliver
us
us from
from
evil.
evil.
For
For
the
the kingdom,
kingdom,
the
the power,
power, and
and
the
the glory
glory are
are yours,
now
now
and
and forever.
forever.
Amen.
Amen. We thank you, God, for your gift of faith to us, for the many people who've gone before us, the host of saints whose lives have enabled us to come to know you. Help us to treasure the faith we have received, and help us to be willing and ready to share the gift of faith with those around us. We see a world broken and needy, crying out in pain. Ready us to share your gift of faith that brings peace, freedom, wisdom, unity, healing, and everlasting love to those who receive it.
Amen.
The love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us, and those whom we love and pray for, today and always. Amen.
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 Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Sue. That's
Little.
great.